Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Bucks game is over. And now it's time for the longest running postgame show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
Giannis, he goes right at Drummond for the flush, left-handed.
The head coach.
48 minutes, you got to be ready to play whenever your number is called.
And the fans. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks fans, how you feeling tonight? We're going to have to play Celebration by Kool and the Gang. I think that's going to have to happen tonight. I don't see any way how we get away from playing the song that we play after Bucks victories, big Bucks victories. We don't play it every game, but we play it after games in which, you know, are big wins. And tonight classifies as, I'd say, a pretty big win. Turn it up. Here we go. Little chair dance, huh? 116-92, your Milwaukee Bucks over the Boston Celtics. 2-1. Boston leads the series now. We weren't following the rest of the NBA. The Wizards get their first win against Toronto tonight. That series now 2-1. Cleveland blew a 17-point lead against Indiana. Indiana comes back and beats LeBron James. That series is now 2-1 Indiana. So the Eastern Conference playoffs, interesting for sure. After a heavy night of basketball here on a Friday night, I don't even know where to start with this Bucks game. I don't want to say stunned necessarily, because I had said that I thought if they were going to win a game this weekend, it was going to have to be tonight. And then see what happens Sunday. And then look, if you win Sunday, this is a series. And then you go back to Boston with three to go. It's best of three at that point. Two in Boston, one in Milwaukee, and then see what happens. So the next biggest game ever is Sunday against the Celtics. But things tonight that make you go, like Jabari Parker hasn't played much at all his entire series. Plays 30 minutes tonight after coming out in the media and saying the whole thing about Prunty having to be on his good side. He goes 7 of 12, 17 points, 5 boards, couple assists, a block, or a steal, and 2 blocks. Okay. Bledsoe running his mouth about Rozier. He comes back after having been heavily criticized in the national media. Goes 8 of 13, 17 points, 4 boards, 4 assists. Mm-hmm. Now, again, if I would have told you both of those things could happen at the beginning of the series, you would have said, yeah, sure, I believe that Jabari can go 17-5 in a game. Sure. And I absolutely believe Bledsoe can go 17-4-4 in a game. No question. I'm buying into that, Sparky. Okay? Middleton, 23 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, 10 of 17 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3. You're going to buy into that, right? Giannis got in foul trouble late in the fourth, but 19 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Some nights you look at that and go, boy, that wasn't that good a night for Giannis. But it really was. He actually had help, though, so he didn't have to be taking 100 shots. All right. But Thon Maker, get out of here with Thon Maker. You've got to be kidding me with Thon Maker. I mean, where in the world has this been all season? Where? That guy there that you saw tonight, that was the guy everybody was expecting to see during the regular season. That's who we thought we were going to see then. Thon Maker hadn't played at all at the end of the season. He's been watching Zeller and Henson play. Not playing at all. So Henson can't play tonight. So I swear to God, I was at home. Thon Maker came into the game. I said, oh, no. That is what I said out loud. I said, oh, no.
These boys in Boston are big. They could eat him up.
And they didn't even try.
I know.
Like, that was coaching blunder. For the life of me, I don't understand what they're doing over in Brad Stevens' world. He screwed that. I think, personally, I'm not a coach. I'm definitely not Brad Stevens. But when Thon came in, I thought, oh, boy, here we go. This will be three quick fouls on Thon Maker as they just drop the ball into the post and get him in a foul trouble, and on he goes. They didn't do that. They allowed him to stay active, and he had one heck of a game. We don't do Chili's MVP tonight because there's no show tomorrow morning for Chuck and Winkler, but he'd be my Chili's MVP tonight. Mm-hmm. It would be Thon Maker would be your Chili's MVP if we had a Chuck and Winkler show tomorrow. 14 points, 5 boards. I thought he had 6 blocks. The ESPN box score says 5. I swore he had 6.
I know he had 5 at the half.
He had 5 at half. I'm pretty sure he had 1 in the second half, too. He must not have gotten credit for it. But that was an unbelievable game. 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 7 from the line. Just, to me, that was amazing. 57% from the field. Even that, I mean, that's on fire for any NBA team, 57%. But remember, they shot 59% in game 1 and still got whooped. But Boston, on the other hand, they were a disaster tonight. 16 turnovers. They couldn't shoot their way out of anything to save their life. They out-rebounded the Bucks by 8, but didn't shoot the ball well at all for 40%. And they were they had to get going to get to 40%. They were, what, 2 of 19 in the first quarter? Celtics were just awful tonight. But I think part of that is due to your Milwaukee Bucks. Jason Terry said Thursday night, last night, with Bill Michaels and Steve Novak during Milwaukee Basketball Hour, that they had to make sure Boston knew they were playing them in this series. They had to be more physical. They had to make sure that they knew that they were in a dogfight, essentially. And I heard him say it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, that sounds good, but can you actually make this happen for 4 quarters? Can you actually follow through on what Jason Terry is saying? They did. They were as physical as I've seen them all year long. And the difference between this game and the game in which they blew out Toronto last year was, A, they weren't playing that helter-skelter stupid defense. So from that aspect to the energy aspect, I don't worry about it draining them for 2 or 3 games like I did last year in the playoffs. And that dominant performance they did against Toronto. So I don't worry about that. Can you be this physical every game the rest of the series? That really, to me, is going to be the key. If you are this physical the rest of the series, you will have a chance to maybe win this series. But can you play at that level for 4 quarters, game in and game out, for the rest of the series? And Anthony Mandela and I were talking before we came on. And I told Anthony, I said, if Thon Maker plays like this every game going forward, they could be a tough team to beat. If you get games like this from the rest of them and you play physical. Now, again, it's one game. We saw them kill Toronto last year in the playoffs, and then they weren't the same after that till the very end. So I don't want to get overly worked up, but this team here is not the team we saw during the year. They haven't been a physical team all year. Thon hasn't done this all year. There's just a lot of kind of firsts in this game as a Bucks fan that you saw tonight that we really haven't seen. So it's hard to buy in, but hey, a win is a win. Got to be happy with a win. 116-92 Bucks over the Boston Celtics. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. I know there are a lot of people on hold leaving the Bradley Center. Let's get to them.
Well, I just want to point out.
Uh-oh.
I just want to point out. This dude called with more than 6 minutes left in the game.
Big Marco.
Ready to go. Yeah, it's Big Marco. That was a really good guess. Big Marco, you're on the Fan.
First and foremost, I just want to say, what a hell of a game. Second of all, you know, this is precisely why. I mean, I took heat for it when they were underperforming, but we could have never done this to the 76ers. Never. You know, right now, we need to start thinking about stopping writing off all of these playoff appearances. Because how do you guys think runs start? How do you think do we become a good championship team? It starts, with one person believing, and the whole crowd, Bradley Center believing, then management believing, and then this is how we get that winning culture. We have to manufacture the winning culture here in Milwaukee. And in the grand scheme of things, it starts by not selling your playoff tickets. I know, dude, that there's a whole bunch of Boston homers here in Milwaukee. We need to end that. You know, we need to manufacture our playoff success. And that is how you do it. You know, basically, you know, these championship runs start with games like this, where you don't think that they have a chance. In heck, if there was any team that we could have done this to, it would have had to have been the Celtics.
I don't know if that. I don't know.
I'm sorry. We could not have done this to the 76ers. They're too talented.
No.
All of these players, dude, outside of maybe Big Al, they could all be rattled. They're all rookies. There's nothing.
But
Bledsoe punked Rozier tonight.
Big Marco.
And Middleton got up and did a whole bunch of in-your-face, you know, freeze and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We have confidence now. And the reason why we have confidence is because of you fans in Milwaukee. I mean, I left Milwaukee, dude, because I always thought, oh, man, dude, we're never going to make it. It's going to be the same old Bucks, the same old Bucks. Tonight, I wish I was one of you sitting in the bar somewhere drinking.
Yeah, that would be – sounds like a lot of fun. Big Marco, thanks for the call.
Don't sell your playoff tickets.
Don't sell.
I don't think, dude, that this is the end of it. I think, dude, that tomorrow or Sunday that they can do it again.
All right, sounds
and
good.
The reason why is because we have secret weapons that NBA.TV.com and TNT don't even know about. And you know, if Bledsoe would have fouled out, I think, dude, that Jennings could have kept us at least in the game and nobody would have known about it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for the call, Big Marco. Okay, where do I start? Okay, first of all, thank you for being positive tonight, Big Marco. I do appreciate it. Calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Look, I'm not going to be the negative guy, the negative Nancy, or nothing like that. And you should be proud of your Bucks team tonight because they played as well as they're going to probably play. It was a very, very impressive four-quarter performance. Not a three-quarter performance, not a two-quarter performance. They played well for virtually all four quarters. And that has been a knock on this team pretty much all year long. They play hard for two quarters, and then they disappear for two of the four. They play hard for three, and it's that one quarter where they don't play hard is the reason why they lose a basketball game. That's kind of how it's been all season for this team, really for the last couple of seasons for this team. And tonight they put it together for four quarters. The challenge now is, can they do it again? And the challenge is, for those of you that have tickets for Sunday, can you match the greatness that was that crowd tonight at the Bradley Center? Can Sunday's crowd match the energy and the intensity from the crowd that was there tonight at the Bradley Center? A+ for me for the crowd tonight at the Bradley Center. That was really impressive. All right, Anthony Mandela, where to?
Well, how about we swing over to Oak Creek and check in with Chris. Chris, you're on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Hey, Sparky.
What's up?
Chris.
How you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, how can Boston go so good to so terrible and make the Bucks look, we were terrible.
I don't
and
think.
Now all of a sudden we're amazing.
Well, like, I mean, you shot the ball well, but you shot the ball well in the first game. I really think part of what happened was the physicality of the game, I think, stunned Boston a little bit, and they couldn't figure out how to overcome that. Plus, the crowd got into it. Plus, they weren't hitting their shots. It really threw them for a loop. Now, on Sunday, they'll be expecting it a little bit more, and we'll see how they react.
I understand that, but I am so confused because it's like one of those things where it's like Boston was amazing, and now we're here, and Bucks look just phenomenal.
It's the same thing that happened against the Raptors last year. The Bucks had one great game, and then they went back to being the Bucks after that. I'm just saying, look, it's the playoffs. You're going to have these type of games. They should have won game one, Chris. The Bucks should have won game one. There was no reason.
I watched every single game.
Okay, so they should be up 2-1 right now, and that obviously isn't the case. You're instead down 2-1, and George Karl always used to say it's not a series till somebody wins on the road. So right now, nobody's won on the road yet. So we'll see what happens on Sunday. Thanks a lot for the call, Chris. I mean, listen, that is part of what happened here. The crowd, you guys were a huge part of this. The physicality that the Bucks played with and the intensity they played with. Because, again, at home, I literally said out loud, Boston has to sustain the first 5 to 7 minutes of this quarter. If they do that and they're still in it, this is going to be a game. And they were 10, 12 points down, whatever it was, but the Bucks never let them back in it. They never got off their throat. And that's something previous Bucks teams this year have done. I mean, it happened to Cleveland tonight. They were up 17, squandered it, and lost the game to the Pacers. It happens in the NBA. And that was super impressive for me by the Bucks. They never let him up. They just kept pounding on him all night long. Again, can the Bucks play with this level of physicality again on Sunday? And then can they bring it again on Tuesday? And then again in Game 6? And again in Game 7 if it goes that long? Can you play like this the rest of the series? And then if you win the series, can you play like that the next series? Because physically, you take a beating on yourself as much as you lay out a beating on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're also going to feel it tomorrow when they wake up, the Bucks wake up, they're going to feel it just like Boston is. And I think it's Sun Boston. I don't think Boston was ready for the level of physicality that Milwaukee came out with today because they haven't been known as a very physical basketball team. They really haven't. And they took it upon themselves. Do you give Prunty credit? Do you give the leaders on this basketball team credit? I don't know. But I do know it was very impressive what I saw tonight. All right, Mr. Mandela, where to?
Head over to Wauwatosa and check in with Damani. What's up, Damani?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up?
Sparky, you got to admit I was right, man. You had to be optimistic. You got to put in Thine, and you got to play Jabari. You have to admit I was the first one to say that.
You were the only one to say to play Thine, so yeah, I'll give you that.
He's very athletic, and he can, like, hustle on a defensive end, and he's young, so he gets a missed amount of energy. Now, as far as Bledsoe, I didn't see that coming, but I did see it from Jabari. So I can't wait for Sunday so I can prove everybody wrong.
Well, man, yeah, if it gets back to 2-2, boy, it's going to be a lot of positive energy in this city going into that game on Tuesday, going back to Boston for sure. Thanks a lot for the call, Damani. Good job. Making that prediction right again about Thon Maker. 116-92, Bucks over the Celtics. Let's go inside the box score.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
All right, as we go inside the box score, Giannis tonight, 27 minutes, 8 of 13 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3, 19 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, 2 steals, 2 blocks, and 2 turnovers. Chris Middleton, 33 minutes, 10 of 17 from the floor, 3 of 6 from 3-point range, 0 of 1 from the line, 23 points, 8 boards, 7 assists, a steal, a block, and a turnover. Eric Bledsoe, 27 minutes, 8 of 13 from the floor, 0 of 3 from 3, 1 of 1 from the line, 17 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a block, and a turnover. Tyler Zeller, 19 minutes. He went 1 of 1 from the field. 2 boards, an assist, a steal, a block, and 2 points for him. Malcolm Brogdon got the start in place of Tony Snell. 29 minutes, 2 of 8 from the floor. 1 of 4 from 3-point range. 5 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, and 2 turnovers. Off the bench, and this really is the story of the night, Jabari Parker and Thon Maker, and even Dellavedova in spurts really helped this basketball team. Parker, 30 minutes, 7 of 12 from the floor, 1 of 4 from 3, 2 of 4 from the line, 17 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, and a turnover. Thon Maker, 24 minutes, 3 of 5 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3, 5 of 7 from the line, 14 points, 5 boards, a steal, and 5 block shots for Thon Maker. 16 minutes for Dellavedova, 2 of 2 from the floor, 1 of 1 from 3-point range. He had 5 points, 4 assists, a board, and a turnover. 22 minutes for Tony Snell, 2 of 3 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3-point range, 6 points, 3 boards, assists, and a steal, and 1 block shot. Garbage time at the end of the game. Shabazz Muhammad, 4 minutes, 1 of 2, 1 of 1 from 3, good for 3 points. Sterling Brown, 4 minutes, he hit his only 3-point shot he took. He had 3 points, a board, and a steal. Brandon Jennings was 0 of 2 from downtown. Hit both of his free throws. He had 2 points and 1 turnover. Bucks win 116-92. They shoot 57% from the field. The Celtics shoot 40%. 16 of 33 for the Bucks from 3. They didn't have many better games than that from 3-point land this year other than tonight. 8 of 24 for Boston. Free throw line, 10 of 15 for Milwaukee. 20 of 28 for Boston. Boston on rebounds, the Bucks 45-37. Turnovers, the Bucks with 9 only. Best turnover game by far for the Bucks. Worst turnover game for Boston, they had 16. Again, 116-92. Next game Sunday at noon at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. Other news of the day, Aaron Rodgers becoming minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks today. Don't know how much of a stake he has in the team. how much money he put in it or whatever else, but they have like 100 minority owners. So, I mean, it's not like the Packers where everybody can own the Bucks, but you still have to have some type of money in order to get in on this. But I don't think they're really turning people away at this point. So congratulations to Aaron Rodgers, first NFL player, or first, I think, professional sports player outside of the NBA in general.
At least he's an active player.
Right, to own a share in an NBA team is Aaron Rodgers. So that's nice, right? It's not going to make Bucks jerseys with Aaron Rodgers and the 12 number on it.
Does that mean Jabari's gone?
I would assume.
Yep.
Right? That's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter if Jabari's there or not. People just want to wear Aaron Rodgers anything.
Yep.
Anything. And Danica Patrick was at the game today. Mm-hmm. Bucks could have crashed and burned, but they didn't. Sorry. That was a shot at Danica. All right. Let's take another call.
Michael, on the north side, you're not very optimistic, are you?
Caledonia. Mike from Caledonia.
What's up, Mike? It says the north side on here. My bad.
That's all right. What's up, man?
But anyways, you know what, Sparky? I thought you were wavering at first, but from hearing what you said, you know, you're sticking your ground, and, you know, we won this game. I'm going to Sunday's game, and I look at it as the last game in the Bradley Center. I love the Bucks just almost as much as you do, Sparky, but, you know, we've seen this team play, and I'm not going to fall into the false facade of this good game we played today.
But you still have to enjoy it, man. They played well.
Yeah. You're right. Yep. I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. But you can't enjoy a game. I enjoy a series. You know?
No, I understand what you're saying, right?
But I mean, I love the Bucks, and they're playing good. But the Jabari thing, yeah, Jabari's gone.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see what happens there. It'll depend, I think, partly on the offer and partly whether or not they can find a sign and trade if the money is too much.
Yeah, I don't even think it's an offer because, I mean, this is all speculation, but I know a guy, my best friend, goes to the same barbershop as a lot of the Bucks, and Jabari said he wants to stay, but he feels like the Bucks don't want him to stay.
There is issues, for sure.
I don't disagree
with you on the issues, and I've said before, and I'll say it again. I think they have to go out and hire somebody to run basketball operations and gets the final say, whose name is not John Horst, and it has to be a basketball coach in here that Jabari Parker is down with and trusts is going to make him the best player he can be. I think if those things happen, I think Jabari will be fine.
Before you let me go real quick here, I just want to say we need a coach, and – you know the Bucks better than anybody I know, except for maybe my friend Wesley. But you, I feel like you know him better because you've been around longer. We need to play fundamental basketball.
Mm-hmm.
If we play fundamental basketball, who would beat us in the East, right?
If they play basketball the way they play tonight, they would be a top two seed, top three seed in the East year to year if they play like this.
We're not going to trust this, right, though, right?
Well, not yet. No, they got to do it more than once. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Thanks for the call. I got to let you roll, man. I appreciate the compliments. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can trust this or not. I mean, I tend to say no because we haven't seen this all year. I mean, it's not like we've seen them play this physical for a stretch in a month. We haven't seen them play this physical ever, period. We haven't seen it. So, for me, yeah, it's a tough sell. I haven't seen Thon Maker play like this a majority of the year.
Wow. I've never seen Thon Maker play like this.
Last year in Toronto, he played well in that playoff series in the beginning.
But like this?
I don't remember.
He might have been the difference in this game.
He was the difference.
You know what I'm, saying?
Earlier,
you don't expect anything from him the way he's been playing.
He wasn't even playing. He was sitting on the bench. Prunty had him on the bench. So Prunty had Parker not playing. He came up big. Prunty had Thon not playing. He came up big. And the only reason he got to play was because Henson was hurt.
Yep.
So just pointing all of this out, laying it all out there. And I promise you, Joe Prunty had no idea Thon Maker was going to do that. And his press conference is going on right now. And if he tells anybody at that press conference, oh, I knew Thon was going to do that, somebody ought to stand up and go, then you ought to be fired for not having played him the first two games. If you thought Thon was going to do that, then why wasn't he out there the first two games? There's no way. The answer has to be from Prunty if he's asked about Thon Maker. I was blown away. I mean, that's the best game I've seen him play as a Milwaukee Buck, or one of the best games I've seen him play as a Milwaukee Buck. Nobody other than Damani, who wanted them to play Thon Maker, nobody in that building said when he came in, all right, here's your X Factor. Let's do that too while we're here. That is, because that's what it is, right?
There's always something unexpected that changes the game. Here's tonight's X Factor of the game.
Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in six junior college sports. Learn more at bcsbobcats.com.
X Factor of the game, like we were just talking about, clearly is Thon Maker. Just an amazing performance by Thon Maker tonight from a guy that nobody expected to do what he did. This is what the Bucks expected when they drafted him. This is kind of where they thought he would eventually be. Just amazing. If he plays in the next game, and if Boston doesn't attack him with Baines and Horford and make him defend the post and doesn't work to try and get him in foul trouble, I will be blown away. Absolutely shocked if they don't do it again. Because if they don't do it again, he may do it again to him. He very well may. And he was blocking everybody. Jaylen Brown, whoever you want to come in here, I'm going to swat you. That's going to be the end of it. All right, let's take another call. Where are we going next?
Head over to Germantown. Joey D, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Joey?
Hey, Sparky, thanks for getting me on.
You bet.
Wanted to make a direct correlation with tonight's exceptional win. I thought right away, since John Henson and Jason Terry didn't see the floor at all, that would be a great starting point for next game. How about we do that again?
I think if Henson can play, he's going to play, and he's going to go right back into the starting lineup. And I understand everybody's getting all fired up about, well, Henson didn't play and they won. But honestly, did you honestly think Thon Maker was going to do this? Because the majority of people didn't want Thon Maker ever to play again either.
Right, yeah. I would say to think that Thon Maker, even in the next game, would duplicate this would be kind of foolish. But I kind of liked him on the defensive end. I thought he
was amazing.
Yeah, just double the effort that Henson gives out there on a nightly basis easily.
See, and that's the thing. Thanks for the call. That's the thing is when you talk about Thon, you didn't see this all year. You didn't. Like the Bucks, you didn't see this all year either of what they provided as a team. And that's why earlier it's like, whoa, how can the Boston look so bad and the Bucks look so good? Because the Bucks provided something to Boston that Boston never saw coming. They provided Thon Maker, who looked like Superman out there on the defensive side of the floor, and they provided a physical nature for four quarters against this Boston Celtics team, who didn't see that one coming. I guarantee you, Boston is in the locker room right now going, well, boys, we're going to have to figure out what we're going to do in this next game. Because we got to be ready for this on Sunday. We weren't ready tonight, and we got it handed to us. This was our fault. We'll be ready on Sunday. And then Prunty has to come back with, what's he going to do different? What's going to be your adjustment that you're going to throw at them now that they may not expect? Because they're going to be ready for you on Sunday. If they blow out Boston on Sunday like they did tonight, Boston's in a lot of trouble going back to Boston. I'll say that right now. If they play with this same type of physicality and intensity, and they play this hard again for four quarters and show that they can do it back-to-back games, Boston may be in some problems then. They may have some problems. But if Boston comes back and beats the Bucks, then it could be over Tuesday in Boston, depending on how close it is on Sunday and how much they take away as far as confidence goes. Because the Bucks are feeling good right now. Now it's up to Boston to stop it, to end it on Tuesday. But if they can't stop it and the Bucks roll them on Sunday, it's going to be one hell of a series. I mean, one hell of a series going forward. All right, where to next, Mr. Mandela?
Brett in Bayside. You're on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
What's up, Brett?
Hey, guys. This game reminded me, 1994, the Phoenix Suns were the one seed against the Lakers as the eighth seed, and the Lakers went into Phoenix, won the first two games. Paul Westphal, after game two, sat down and said, we're fine. We're going into L.A. We're going to win game three. We're going to win game four. We're coming back here. We're winning game five. And they did. That's what's happening here. This Boston team, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, they've got $40 million worth of players sitting on the sidelines. Brad Stevens might be the best coach in the NBA, but he can't reach into that black hat of magic and pull it out seven times. This series is over. The Bucks should have won game one. They shot 60% in game two. They shot darn near 60% tonight. Offensively, they've been fine from the beginning, And I love the talk about Maker because Maker was fantastic. Dellavedova was the key. He came in when Bledsoe got two fouls, and he showed Terry Rozier, you're just a guy. Terry Rozier is just a guy. This entire roster that Boston is using is just a bunch of guys, and it's going to hit him in the end. Boston 6. That's what I have to say.
And we'll see if you call back on Sunday. And thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Listen, I'm all about getting all excited about this win and getting all crazy. But this all this Bucks and Six talk, I didn't hear that for the last couple of days on the three shows that I was listening to on The Fan. Chuck and Winkler, Bill Michaels, Big Show. Didn't hear a lot of people calling up and going, yeah, we're down 2-0. We're going to win in six. It doesn't matter. I didn't hear a lot of that. No. Now it's 2-1. Now we're going to get all on our high horse again and say Bucket back in Bucks and Six. Listen, if they win in six, dude, that would be awesome. Okay? That means they win four straight in this series. If they win four straight in this series, then Philadelphia, who they're going to get next, is not going to want to deal with this team. Because if they play this physical in the next series, if it's Philly, they're going to get Philly problems. Because Ilya Sova doesn't want to be bullied around, pushed around. Bellinelli doesn't want to be pushed around. I highly doubt Ben Simmons wants to be having guys being physical with him too. Philly does not want to deal with what you saw tonight from the Bucks. There's nobody does. Because they can score and they're going to be physical and have a shot blocker on the other side with Thon Maker. Yeah. Everything changes if they play like this the rest of the playoffs. They could make a deep run the rest of the playoffs if they play like this consistently. The question, though, is will they and can they? And that I don't know. I have no idea. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll get more of your calls. Tell me about the atmosphere at the arena. I said it was an A+. Challenge is now on for the fans going to the game on Sunday to match that intensity, to match that energy that you guys brought tonight at the Bradley Center. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan. Bucks win 116-92.
Hey guys, this is Jan Zadokoub of the Milwaukee Bucks, and you're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game show here on The Fan.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save post-game show. Let's get tonight's Dave and Buster's shot of the game. Dave and Buster's Wauwatosa, the only place to eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
116-92, your Milwaukee Bucks over the Boston Celtics. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Anthony Mandela with you. Ryan Horvath hanging out after the post-game show for the Brewers, helping us out as well. Joe Zinzola. Down at the Bradley Center, just sent us back Joe Prunty and also Brad Stevens. I don't know if we'll get to Stevens, but we'll definitely play Joe Prunty coming back here in a little bit. Shot of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. My thanks to the Milwaukee Bucks. I know it has nothing to do with me, but felt good to see Jim Paschke on the play-by-play call tonight. With all due respect, that's who should be doing the play-by-play in the playoffs for this team. Let's hear how Paschke and Marcus Johnson sounded. Or not. There we go.
Middleton. Yes! What a flush! Get this hometown crowd stirred up right off the bat. Great ball movement. Great man movement. Great decision at the end by Chris.
Those are the first points of the game. They really never looked back.
No, they really didn't. No. That was something that they had to do early in the game, and that was set an energy level in that building. And hold it. The worst thing that you wanted to have happen was you start off over four, over five from the field. Boston hits their first four or five shots, and all of a sudden you're at your first timeout down 12-2. That would have been the worst thing. Don't let the air get out of the building. Make sure you keep that crowd in it. And they kept it in it, and the players were keeping them in it. Thon Maker getting the crowd going when he was in the game. Bledsoe getting the crowd going when he was in the game. Everybody was on the same page tonight, and it was fun to watch. 116-92 Bucks over the Celtics. Back to the phones we go. 414-799-1250. Where are we going?
Matt in Racine, you were at the game tonight?
I sure was, yeah. So two thoughts first, and then I'll hang up. One, the crowd was crazy, and I loved it. And we need that energy on Sunday. And two, all the guys making comments in the media, like Jabari and Bledsoe, we've all seen those.
They also came to play tonight, which was huge. And I really hope they can keep it up. And obviously, Thon, we've talked, you guys have talked about that already. But really just a crazy atmosphere tonight. And I think we have one of the best home courts in the NBA. So I'll leave it with that to talk about that because Sunday is going to be lit.
It's a great home court when it's the playoffs. That I agree with. Thanks for the call. Yes. When it's the playoffs, it can be one of the better home courts in the NBA for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Miller Park can be one of the better fields to play at when it's the playoffs for sure. Do you get that same intensity and same energy in the regular season? No. But a lot of stadiums don't. Golden State does at Oracle Arena. They get that same type of energy most nights that they get. And even their energy level goes obviously up in the playoffs. But, yeah, when you have what you have tonight, I agree. This fan base is unmatched. When it comes to playoff intensity and keeping it up for four quarters, they did a great job. But I can't tell you a little something. Because I keep telling you what I was saying out loud during this game. Watching that game, crowd's going crazy. They're showing wide shots of the arena, right? Sold out crowd. People are going nuts. And I said, man, I can't wait for the new arena. I cannot wait for the new arena. And that's all I keep thinking. I'm telling you, of all the games I've watched this year, I bet you I thought it at least once in every single game I've watched on TV this year of I cannot wait for the new arena. Because I just think, and maybe I'll be wrong about this and we'll find out when we get in the new arena, but I just think it's going to be so much louder in the new arena because of how the seats are put together. Everything has been put into play for sound as far as how everything's going to sound. It's going to sound so much better. I just think it's going to be louder. The way it's going to be all set up. More of you will be closer to the action than being stuck up in the nosebleed seats because of there won't be as many seats in the upper deck. It's just going to be wild. I cannot wait for the new arena. Oh, okay, where to next?
Lee on the northwest side, you're on the fan.
What's up, Lee?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Okay, first I want to give the Bucks profit and effort on defense.
Yep.
But more poorly, I want to give Jabari credit because I watched every play and he actually tried on defense tonight. And,
see, can I say something to you?
I know people are going to give him credit for it.
Hold
but
on.
He tried really hard. I saw it.
Hold on.
He's not alone like Giannis.
Hold on. The fact that you have to point out that an NBA player tried on every play says a lot about everything that is wrong with the NBA. But you are correct. I noticed the same thing. Yes, he played hard. Yes.
But still, we need that right now. So I'm just happy. So,
have to have it.
But I still appreciate the fact that he didn't have to dribble the ball from the key and then stumble to the rim and miss a shot. I just appreciate the fact that he needs the ball in his hand and he got lobs and that seemed like a better fit for his game. You know what I'm saying? Open threes and
right.
I appreciate that. So
he had to have a good game after what's been going on. He needed a good game. Had to. There was some pressure on him of, okay, you want to call me out in the media being prunty and everything else. You better put up or shut up if you're going out there again. And he did. He put up or shut up. He played well tonight.
Right, yeah. But y'all know what? What I really appreciate is the fact that even if he scored 11 points, I still would just appreciate the effort. And,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? I would just appreciate that.
I'm with you.
So
I'm with you. Yep. I totally am with you. Thanks for the call. I get it down. He gets ripped a lot for not playing hard. A lot. I see it on social media. I hear it on the talk shows. A lot. And if you go back and look earlier in the series, he didn't run back in transition. There were times where he just wasn't all in. And that very well could be part of the reason why they were mad at him and why he wasn't playing. But with all due respect, you could say the same thing about Eric Bledsoe in games. I mean, tonight there was a play. Bledsoe was on the baseline. Everybody's running down the other end of the floor. Bledsoe wasn't running hard. He got down past half court eventually, but he wasn't sprinting down there trying to get back. So, like I said before, it's an NBA thing. And it drives me bonkers, no question. But for Jabari, who's now under the microscope, yeah, I mean, now everybody's watching you, dude.
He feels
Prunty it. Called you out about your defense and everything else and everybody else on the team, not just him. And, he stepped up and played hard. They all got to play hard if they're going to win this series. They just do.
Well, and I think a lot of people, and probably Jabari Parker included, thought Jabari Parker was kind of going to be checked out for the rest of this series. And I think Jabari Parker especially thought it didn't really matter because he was going to go get his somewhere else and he was going to get his chance to beat Jabari. Until this afternoon, when that national reporter thought they were talking to Jabari Parker.
And it was Chris
Middleton.
They were
talking to Chris Middleton, and he realized that nobody knows who he is.
Well, I don't know if that necessarily gets home with Jabari or not, but look, man, Jabari hasn't been in the playoffs the last two years because he's been hurt. So this is finally his chance to be in the playoffs. He gets the national spotlight. He wants part of the action. He wants to be in on it. So that's definitely part of it. The other part of it could be, too, of, look, dude, I've got to show up and do something here in the playoffs if I want to get paid this offseason. So I think that's probably part of it as well. But I think it was just more or less, it's the playoffs. I need to be out there being a part of this on the national stage. And he wasn't. And he was frustrated. All right, where to?
Justin in California. You're not going to be a wet blanket on us, are you?
No. I'm gonna just tell you guys what I feel about the game. So Marcus Morris came out and said they didn't expect the Bucks to be switching on every screen, which is something I've been calling for since Jason Kidd's like sporadic defense stopped working.
Yep. That was after year one.
I keep saying this. And like you say, game one, the Bucks technically should be up 2-1 right now, but you know, like the Bucks to me are, like you said, the more talented team. Like to me, tonight it was impressive, yeah, but it's something I expect. Like, I expect the Bucks to be in this type of situation. I expect Don to come in and play good defense because I've been watching Don and film on his footwork since he was in high school. He's always been a good defender. The problem with Don is they have him playing a five, and he can't match guys on the boards. Like, he's been a good defender this entire time. You saw it in actual minutes when he played in, like, big games, like playoffs and stuff. He's always been a good defender. The Bucks just need consistent coaching. I feel like the Bucks has been held back by terrible coaching this entire time. And people keep saying, we don't have shooters, we don't have this, and we don't have that. It's like, if you just run ISO plays all game and guys are throwing up contested shots, of course you don't have spacing. Of course you don't have shooting. Move the ball, get guys involved, and you'll see. They'll start knocking down shots. This team isn't as bad as people think. No roster is perfect. Every team has deficiencies. Celtics guys are harping on, man, I wish these guys did this. I wish these guys did this. Like, people just need to appreciate and, like, realize that everybody's in the NBA for a reason, and this team just isn't as bad as we think.
No.
The
effort and energy level kill this team. That's what's killed this team for the last 3 years. They don't play hard consistently for four quarters. They don't play hard consistently for a stretch of time during the regular season. We saw this in Toronto last year. They had the dominant game, and then they disappeared after that. So now you see it tonight, and you go, okay, are we going to have the same issue happen? I don't think we're going to, because as you pointed out, it's not hair on fire defense anymore, but this was about the physicality of the game. Thanks for the call. And to his point about Thon Maker, Scott Grodzki of CBS 58, Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics after the game, quote, Thon Maker completely changed the game, end quote. Jaylen Brown tells us there's no way they could have been ready for that after what they've seen from Thon on tape over the past few months. Nobody saw that coming. Nobody. I mean, he did, right? But nobody else. There's no way. There's no way anybody saw him playing at that level. He really holds the keys to success for this Bucks team kind of going forward if he can play at that level. Now the big thing is, with Henson, if he plays on Sunday, how many minutes is Thon going to get? Is he really going to play all that much? And if he plays again, are they going to let him do what they did tonight, or are they going to attack him on the defensive side of the floor and see if they get him in foul trouble like so many teams have done against him in the past?
What? Confidence, I think, has been a huge thing for Thon Maker. There have been so many times he just looks lost and he doesn't play and he doesn't know what's going on. So even if he doesn't get the same minutes, he now has, I think he proved to himself and maybe the coaching staff that if Henson's dogging it, Zeller's dogging it, that they don't need to throw Giannis at center so that Giannis can get whooped up and down the court.
Yeah.
Thon could be ready to go.
We will find out, because we'll see what this coaching staff does for the next game. But I agree with Jaylen Brown. There's no way anybody saw that coming tonight. Not a chance. All right, how about defensive play of the game tonight, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin?
What defensive play stood out? Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113, Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Uh-oh. Just saw on Twitter from Ben Golliver. Yeah, Ben Golliver from SI. Apparently, Middleton asked that dude who called him Jabari earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Were you the guy who called me Jabari earlier today?" Giannis piped in, "He's the guy." Dead. Apparently, it was a Celtics guy.
Yeah.
Celtics reporter. That sucks. Okay. Defensive play of the game, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Paschke and Marcus Johnson.
Give it a second.
I'm doing the second. Everything. Make it Jabari Parker.
Give me that.
The kind of energy this team has been looking for.
I told you, he told me Tatum did not want to play him in high school AAU basketball. Maybe that's one of the reasons.
I remember you. Five on the shot clock as they inbound.
Give me that in.
Thon Maker again. And he holds off Monroe. And
Parker, you know, you've got to remember, again, Paschke and Marcus Johnson talking about Jabari and Thon there. I think people forget this. I do as well. A lot of these guys have rivalries going all the way, literally back to playing in the summers AAU basketball against each other. You know, in if you go back to like the 70s and 80s or whatever, you're talking about rivalries that went back to college because guys were playing 4 years of college, right? Now, guys with one and dones, the rivalries really develop over the course of time at younger ages, developing through high school. You only get 1 year of it, maybe, if you face the same team that your rival is on in college for a year before you finally get to meet up with those guys again in the NBA. So it was great to hear Marcus Johnson point that out. And obviously Jabari Parker told him, dude, I've owned Tatum. He don't want to deal with me. So Jabari's not lacking confidence from that aspect either. So defensive play of the game there.
Plays.
Plays.
Have we ever had two plays and one highlight for defensive play of the game?
Maybe
at least this season.
Not. Yeah, maybe not.
Two blocks on one shot clock.
Yeah.
Well done, Mr. Maker.
That is true. Get out of here. What is this from? Aren't they supposed to have like dates on? Oh, here we go. So what is today? Today's the 20th, right?
Yep.
Good old KS. Good old KS tweeted out his prediction at 7:34 this evening.
Okay.
So after the game got started, I guess it was. He predicted Giannis dunks so hard on Aaron Baines that he forces him to add another A to his first name. I don't think that really happened. Middleton, 31 points, 9 assists. That did not happen, but he played well. Jabari, 17-6. That was a good prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Shabizzle, 11 points in 10 minutes. Now, again, this is Thon. What do you put next to Thon? Saves the season. That's what he put next to Thon Maker. And then Deli, make sure there's never another set of Morris twins. Hashtag fear the deer from good old KS earlier. If he actually really did tweet that out, that's pretty impressive.
If he's listening right now,
the season. Well, he is.
If he's listening right now, he needs to message me on Twitter and he needs to pick out my lottery numbers.
That's really good. Thon saves the season. You were right about that. He played out of his mind. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Where to next, Mr. Mandela?
Matt and Slinger, you're on the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
The show. Yeah, it was at the game tonight. It was the fifth game of the season for me. And, man, the energy tonight. What a difference between the regular season. Awesome game. A lot of excitement. It was a block party tonight. Love the hustle. My only critique, I got a little bit worried in the first half because Jabari was taking a couple of tough shots, and I thought, oh, man, Jabari's playing for Jabari right now. But he turned it around, had a great game. Just what a team win. Great team win.
Yeah, it was. And it was a great effort by the fans, too. I mean, everybody that was there deserves to pat yourself on the back a little bit. Because so many times you go to a playoff game and the crowd's into it for the first 10 minutes of the game and then they, you know, go away and stuff their face with food and drink and then you hear them in the last 5 minutes of the game again. But that Bradley Center was rocking for the entire game.
Yep.
No question. Sure. Thanks for the call. And that, again, sometimes, you know, oh, don't love on the fans so much and act like they have a big influence. But you do have a big influence. You do. You have to believe that you do. Talk to Seahawks fans. Huge. that's the thing. Packer fans, that stadium in Green Bay should be so much louder than it is on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It just should be, and it's not, and it's disappointing from time to time. It can be, but it's not. That's the one that I do not understand at all.
It's crazy, too, because we expect it to be louder, but it's definitely louder, probably than at least half of the stadiums in the NFL on a regular basis.
Right.
And they take over on the road.
No question. Yes, they do take
like
over.
Like none other
yep.
do they take over on the road.
Cubs fans.
Well.
That's the comparison.
But I meant a franchise that's actually won more than once in the past 100 years.
Yeah, take a shot at the Cubs fans.
Yeah, Ryan's over there shaking his head at me.
Yeah, that's all right. Hopefully Orlovsky's listening too. And
yeah.
Rami.
Good.
Okay, where to next?
Monte in Chicago. You're up, man.
What's up, Monty?
What's going on? Well, Jabari and Bledsoe and Mr. Thon Maker, welcome to the playoffs, man.
Uh-huh.
This is what I've been waiting for, especially Jabari, man. A lot of people have been saying, oh, he deserves more minutes. Well, okay, you play like you want more minutes, like you got tonight. The first two games, I mean, I'm sorry. I couldn't give you more minutes the way you came in at playing lackadaisical, but okay, that's in the past. Like you said, on Sunday, we got to have the same intensity, defensive intensity. Like you said, I've never seen them play. I kept waiting, Sparky. I kept watching. Okay, when is Boston going to make their run? When is Boston going to make their run?
They never let them have it.
They never let them. You're right. They never let them have it. And this, if they play like this, definitely they can win. Unless we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, they got to even it up. But they got to play like this. Like I said, for Sunday and the rest of the series.
Yep.
And look, Don, man, we need you to put on more weight, man, because, I don't want to reminisce about the 80s, man, because we're going to need you to deal with what's going on in Philly and this Boston team in the future. I know that's in the future, but we're going to need Thon more than we need Jabari. We need both, but we're going to need Thon for sure.
No question.
And
that's the thing. I mean, this guy hasn't played most of the second half of the season. And when Hanson comes back, how are the minutes? Minutes going to be divvied up in this thing between him, Zeller, and Maker.
Right. It's going to have to be. There's no way. There's no way Plante should be playing. Who is that? Hanson.
Hanson.
Yeah, he can be playing 30 minutes. If he's cleared to play Sunday, there's no way you play him no 30 minutes. You divvy it up between them three.
I said that last game that he shouldn't have. He played like 36 or 37 minutes of the last game. And I came on there, I said, hey, man, I get it, but how does Zeller not get more than 9 minutes or whatever the heck it was? Now, again, I didn't see Thon Maker getting all these minutes and getting this much run, but that was because of the Hanson injury. But, man, oh, man, I agree with you. I think Maker is going to be the difference, no question. And, like you said, playing with this physicality and this energy for four quarters each game. Thanks for the call, Monty. Enjoy a win down in Chicago, rubbing all those Bulls fans who are watching the playoffs on TV. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Bucks head coach Joe Prunty. We'll get a sports flash with Anthony Mandela. Bucks get the win tonight. Series now 2-1 Boston. Next up Sunday, tip at noon for that one. We'll be back on there with the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show presented to you by Palermo's King Frozen Cheese Pizza. Anthony Mandela, what's on that cheese pizza?
A half a pound of cheese.
That's so lame. Back after this.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
Let's hear from the Bucks head coach. It's time for the Coach's Corner.
Sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE.
This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
116-92, Bucks over the Boston Celtics tonight. 2-1 the series now for Boston. Noon tip-off coming up on Sunday is the next time you will see these two teams square off at the BMO Harris Bradley Center. And now Game 5 will be in Boston on Tuesday night. Joe Prunty talked after the game. I would assume it's a pretty happy Joe Prunty considering how well his team played tonight. Let's hear what he had to say.
Good win. A lot of positives tonight, and quick turnaround, so have to be ready to do it again on Sunday.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Obviously, the past couple days, you guys have been talking about bringing the intensity and playing together. In light of all that, You know, how would you assess your defense tonight and the way you guys played at that end?
I thought our defense was really good, and you know, it goes without saying. You know, you can look at a lot of things here statistically. Forced 18 turnovers, you know, which is drastic. You know, five the last game. So to do that, that's more typical of what we do. You know, held them to 40%. You know, so that's obviously, you know, a lot of positives in that regard. You know, but the activity is, you know, so take the stat sheet out of it. The activity, the energy that we brought. A lot of guys contributing, doing the right things, getting to the right spots on the floor. You know, so that's as you go through the game, in each game, you know, that's what you need is the energy first, knowing your assignments, and then being able to, like, in an environment like this, communicate exactly what needs to be done to your teammates. And I thought we did a nice job with a lot of those things.
Eric Name, ESPN Milwaukee. Brad just called Thon and Delly's energy contagious. What did you think of their performance off the bench tonight?
Yeah, I would agree. And that's, again, that's, you know, I think a lot of guys brought energy, but they definitely brought it when they entered into the game. They continued to, you know, make an impact on the game across the board. Obviously, Thon with a lot of blocks, Delly with his intensity on the ball. Again, you know, talk about the things that guys do, communication, getting to the right spots on the floor. I would agree. They both played very, very well.
Can you expand on what Thon was able Gennaro Armas with AP. Can you expand on what Thon was able to give you? Especially, obviously, he's, with his length, he's done it in spurts this year, but to do in this spot?
Yes, and that's, you know, with him tonight specifically, he not only did, you know, the blocks, the energy, hit some big shots, hit a big three from the right wing. I believe it was around 14 at that time. You know, made a lot of plays on both sides of the ball that are critical in terms of just winning the game, in terms of hustle plays. You know, as again, keep mentioning the blocks, but those are plays where he's running from behind sometimes. He wasn't always there meeting somebody. He was just continuing to stay in the play. And so that energy, that activity, all the things that he brought on both sides are important, and we're going to need for him to do it again.
Coach, Mark D'Amico, Celtics.com. You talked about energy in each of your first three answers. How much of that energy came from the environment that your players played in for the first time during this series and being at home and in front of your own fans?
Well, sure, but I think the one thing, no question. I mean, our fans were great. They always have been. We're going to need them again in game four. And we'll, you know, we know that they will be. But at this time, you should always, there's a level of excitement anytime you step into a playoff game, regardless of where it is. There's always going to be energy and intensity and focus, you know, based on the fact that it is a playoff game. So tonight, the crowd was great. I think, you know, sure, you could say that it helped, but I think it, you know, you also have to look at our guys and that they dug within and brought that as well, like the passion, enthusiasm, excitement that each guy brought to the game.
Charles Gardner with the Boston Globe. Jabari wanted more minutes. He got more minutes. He played much better. He had the energy, the stuff you were talking about yesterday at practice. What did he do, and how important is it to you to just have that on a continuing basis?
He played very well. And like you said, he, you know, we've talked, that's, we talked about initially, I brought it up obviously as a group thing. You talk about Thon and Delly as well being guys that impacted the game. Jabari did the same thing in regards to came in, didn't try to force anything, allowed the game to come to him. There was a rhythm to the, we had a good rhythm to the game. And everybody that stepped on the floor just continued that. And so for Jabari, those are the things that we've talked about. Those are the things that we need. You know, we'll need the effort, energy, the hustle plays, the decisions and the plays that he can make on the floor. He's not just a guy that has to score for us. He can make a lot of play. He can pass it. We need everybody to rebound the ball. So he played very well.
Andrew Wagner, State Journal. Rozier has been kind of a headache through these first two games, but tonight you guys were able to keep him contained. Was there a change in philosophy or a change of approach, or was just things were going your way tonight?
You know, I like we said earlier, you know, just the ability to pick up, you know, pressure him, you know, their whole team, not just him, but just trying to make them work. I think more than anything else, like we've talked about a lot here, just the effort and energy that we put into it and the ability to get the stops was a big part.
You know,
there
like
he is, Bucks head coach Joe Prunty talking after the Bucks get the win tonight, 116-92, Bucks over the Boston Celtics.
You're listening to the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show. Now it's time to pick the ruler of the backboard. Brought to you by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, loaded with a half pound of Wisconsin cheese. It truly is the ruler of pizza.
All right, 116-92 victory for the Bucks over the Celtics. Ruler of the backboards tonight is Chris Middleton with 8 rebounds to go along with 23 points, 7 assists on 10 of 17 shooting, 3 of 6 from 3-point range, 0 of 1 from the free throw line. He is your ruler of the backboards tonight. Bucks did get out-rebounded by Boston, however, 45-37. Speaking of Chris Middleton, him and Giannis both took the podium together and talked to the assembled media. Let's hear what they had to say.
Bledsoe, there it is for three.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save Postgame Show, presented by Palermo's King Cheese Frozen Pizza, the ruler of taste. We're heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Giannis and Chris Middleton at the podium. Let's hear what happened after the game tonight, after they get the win. Just to refresh your memory, I told you what Middleton had. Giannis had 19 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, couple steals, couple blocks. Hit 3 of 4 from 3 on 8 of 13 from the field. Did get in foul trouble there in the fourth and ended up only playing 27 minutes tonight. They didn't need him in the fourth, to be honest with you. Let's hear what they had to say.
Miss AP, Giannis and Chris, coach always talks about everyone being prepared. How big were the contributions today from Thon and Delly?
It was really big, especially defensively from Thon and Delly. I think they both came, they were ready to play. They checked in to the game. They set up the tone for the team. And everybody else followed, so that was really good for the team tonight.
Ivy Chen from JCon Taiwan.
You want me to answer that too?
About
Delly. Delly, I mean, he's been in these positions before. He's a champion. He knows what it takes. He came in and just tried to set a tone for the point guards to pressure them, you know, try to speed them up, try to make the offense a little bit tougher to get into. And he was huge tonight. He knocked down big shots, made plays for guys. So. Like I said, man, he's been in this position before, and he knows what it takes, so we're glad to have him.
Ivy Chen, JCon Taiwan, for either of you, this being the second consecutive year being in the playoff, how much does the experience from last year help?
I think it's huge. I mean, each series, each playoff year is something different. It's a different thing thrown at you, but you've been in that position before, you know. Each game is a different type of game. You have to be ready. You have to be able to adjust your game plan in game and before game. So tonight was a big night for us where, you know, we realized last year, you know, we won one in Toronto, we lost one, but it's still a series. Game by game is a long series, so can't get high, can't get too low, like Giannis said earlier to me.
Hey guys, Mark D'Amico, Celtics.com. Coach Prunty, when he was just in here, he almost every single answer that he gave, it was energy, 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 talking about what you guys brought to the table tonight. Where did that energy come from?
We realized how much important this game was. And I think everybody that played, they came in and they were ready to go. They brought the energy. In game two, we didn't do a good job, you know, rebounding the ball, taking care of the ball. I think we did a great job by doing that and just, you know, rebounds. Rebound, it takes effort to rebound the ball. So I think everybody brought effort. Hopefully we can carry that on to game four too.
Eric Name, ESPN Milwaukee. Giannis, no one has been more supportive of Thon and everything that he's been doing and everything that he's capable of than you. What did it mean for you to get to see Thon have this type of contribution tonight?
Yeah, it means a lot. Thon for me is like my little brother. We had the conversation there earlier, like probably 2 weeks ago, I told him that he got to bring that killer mentality back. You know, that he was hungry. I think he lost that for a little bit, but tonight he showed that how much he wants it. He did a great job just coming in, giving everybody energy. Blocking shots, making shots, running, hitting guys. So I was kind of proud of him. Hopefully he can carry that on in game four because we definitely need this guy. You know, it's a big piece for us, and it's just keep getting better.
All right, speaking of Thon Maker, he also talked after the game tonight, and this is what Thon had to say it again. If we had Chili's MVP tonight, he'd be Chili's MVP. He was the X Factor. 14 points, 5 boards, 5 block shots, 3 of 5 from the floor, 3 of 4 from 3-point range, 5 of 7 from the free throw line. And that doesn't include all the times he disrupted guys at the rim that didn't end up in block shots. This is what Thon had to say.
You know, I've always had that energy, but you know, you get motivated from the crowd. You know, the moment, the playoff atmosphere itself, you just get motivated right away.
When you got that first block, kind of get you going. I mean, you got it right away.
Yeah, you know, again, the crowd got going, so I got going as well. So I lost my voice, but you just you get so excited after making a play like that, and the crowd gets into it. You get into it as well.
What was the difference for this team tonight compared to those other two games? You just look like a whole different team out there.
I think we just, you know, started off with energy on the defensive end, and you know, offensively we moved the ball pretty well, and just passed down an open shot to get a greater look, and guys were, you know, ready to knock it down.
With John being in the lineup, how much do you pride yourself in coming off the bench and having an opportunity?
You know, just got to stay ready. Each guy got to stay ready. Somebody get hurt every time. You got to find a way to stay ready and come in and do your job. You know, everybody's a professional on this team, so you got to find a way to impact the game.
How nice was it to see Jabari Parker do his thing tonight? I mean, I'm sure everybody was waiting for it, right? And he got his minutes.
We weren't worried about JP. He's always going to be, you know, bringing something to the game every single time. Very unselfish, you know, making plays. Unstoppable, so he's going to get downhill and make plays. So, you know, it's good to see him get going, and you know, hopefully we'll do the same thing next game.
What's it like for you to get your number called in a big game like this, and to do what you did? What's your mindset going out there?
You know, going in, you know, I just gotta stay ready. You know, before each game, the preparation, you gotta trust in that, and then when the game gets going, you know, I wasn't feeling anything. I wasn't, you know, like you literally don't feel anything. You're just out there, and you know, you have nothing to lose. You're just going out to play hard.
What type of statement do you feel like this team made tonight
against Boston? We just did what we were supposed to do. You know, we took care of home, you know, had each other's back on the defensive end, and, you know, stayed ready on the offensive end, and, you know, guys were everywhere flying around trying to cover one another. So we were supposed to do it. We did what we were supposed to do.
Von, how those three-point shots developed? You were getting open, guys were penetrating, Bledsoe, Jabari penetrating, guys,
yeah.
And then you were really looking for that three, and you were hitting
it. Yeah. You know, those just come with preparation and staying ready, knowing that they're going to sag off a little bit with a five-man. So, you know, that's their help, guys. So I got to be ready to knock that down or make the right play.
Did the blocks in any way, like, put your confidence on your shooter?
I mean, it brought the crowd into it. But other than that, you know, it helped us out and get out in transition as well. So that's the biggest part.
Two blocks in a row, though? I mean, did you have that? Did you know you had that in your arsenal?
You know, just trying to protect, you know, the rim and, you know, staying solid on the defensive end and doing my job helping out.
Did you see you guys play with some anger today? With an edge?
You know, we can't get too sped up and we can't get slowed down. We just got to find our rhythm and play with that, you know, play with pace. Coach always preaches that, you know, play with pace. You know, take care of the ball on the offensive end, but most importantly on the defensive end, just fly around and help one another.
There he is, Bucks center Thon Maker with a huge night tonight for this Bucks team. I got to be honest with you, I get a little frustrated when I hear this type of stuff of, well, yeah, I've had this, but, you know, now it's all or nothing. Now I really got to bring it now. Listen, you want to be great or don't you? If you do, this is how you got to play during the year. Not just in the playoffs, when you finally get a chance in game three with your team down 2-0. You want to be great like Giannis? You got to play like this all the time. Not just in the playoffs. Thon Maker busts his butt. He wants to be great. He says he wants to be great. puts all these calories into his body, eats, lifts weights, works out multiple times a day, does everything, is attached to Giannis's hip. Now you got to learn how to play at that high intensity, regardless whether it's the regular season or the playoffs. You're never going to be great if you can't get on the floor. And you haven't gotten on the floor consistently all year. And when you're on the floor, you've got to play like this, regardless if there's a sold-out crowd or if there's 6,000 people in the arena. You got to play at that energy level if you want to be great. If you want to be a guy, then do what you're doing. But if you want to be great, you got to play like this consistently, going forward, more often, not just game three of the playoffs. Now we'll see how he responds in game four on Sunday at noon if given another opportunity. Can he match what he did tonight? Don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Let's hear from Gary Wolfler, WSSP Basketball Insider, coming up next.
Now, a Bucks postgame update from Fan Insider Gary Wolfel. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola.
This is the Milwaukee Bucks Pick and Save postgame show.
All right, Bucks come up on the losing end tonight to the Boston Celtics, 116-92. Joining us now, the aforementioned Gary Wolfel, he was at the game with the fan. Gary, your thoughts on what you saw tonight?
Well, the Bucks played by far their best all-around game of the season. And excuse me, I was talking to Jamie Dimon, one of the Bucks majority owners, after the game, and he totally agreed. He thought this was their best effort, and you know, they were spurred on by just a fabulous crowd. And before the game, it was kind of interesting. I was talking to Thon Maker, and he goes, remember game three last year against Toronto and how this place was just absolutely bonkers? He goes, I hope it is that way tonight. And it was. It was a great crowd.
Yep. What happened in game three against Toronto last year?
You tell me.
They blew him out.
Yeah.
And what happened after that?
Right.
And see, that's the thing, though. And I think the difference is that they were playing that helter-skelter, hair-on-fire defense, and there was no way, from an energy standpoint, they could sustain that. They're not playing that crappy defense nearly as much now here in the playoffs. And the reason I think they won tonight, obviously, was Thon Maker was a huge part of it. But the physicality, the knock-em-in-the-mouth physicality that they brought for four quarters, they stepped on their throat and they wouldn't let them get them off the mat all four quarters. That was something Boston didn't see coming. The Bucks haven't been this physical all year.
No, I totally agree. And I'll tell you, the guy, I think he was really, really flying under the radar as far as recognition for this game is Malcolm Brogdon. And if you look at his stats, yeah, I think he only had, 5 points or something like that. And he didn't shoot the ball real well, but he did an incredibly good job on Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown only had 2 points in the first quarter, and that's when the Bucks jumped on him. And I don't know what Brown ended up with, but it wasn't anything close to his 25-per-game average. So
no, Brown tonight ended up with 11 points, 4 of 9 shooting.
Yeah. Who did Brown did?
Jaylen Brown. That's what I said. Jaylen Brown. Yeah. 11 points, 4 boards, yeah, and 1 assist.
And he entered the game averaging 25 points.
Right.
So, I mean, Brogdon did his job.
And the other guy they shut down was Marcus Morris, who absolutely killed him in this series through the first two games. Brown only had 7 points, 5 boards, had 4 turnovers, 2 of 8 from the floor for Marcus Morris. That was also a big factor tonight, too. All right, so going forward Sunday at noon, what do you think is the biggest key for this Bucks team to win Sunday?
Well, I think everybody has to play their roles like they did tonight. I mean, that was maybe one of the few times in a long, long time where everybody was on the same page. I mean, they were playing as a unit, as a team, and there was a lot of cohesiveness. And, you know, if they do that, I think they're going to be fine.
What about Thon Maker? Do you think he can do that again?
No. I wish he could. I mean, you know, you never know. Maybe, you know, Thon's confidence is up. But I give him a ton of credit because he has not been playing a lot, you know, in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, you know. And this was by far their most important game. And he came out and played big.
Yes, he did. Gary, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
There he is, Gary Wolfel on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
If you're looking for a simple and convenient pre-approval process for your new home, construction, or renovation loan, call Great Midwest Bank, committed to providing uniquely tailored common sense mortgage products since 1935.
You know, the other thing, I'm just watching the replay of this game again in the first quarter. They're replaying it already. Both those games are being replayed on their respective channels, Brewers and the Bucks. Brewers also won with ease today against the Marlins. It'll be interesting to see how the refs call this next game, too. They let the Bucks really get away with a lot of physical play in this game, and we'll see how they call it in the next game on Sunday afternoon. All right, in case you didn't hear, Aaron Rodgers, new minority owner of the Milwaukee Bucks. That was announced earlier tonight as he was at the game with Danica Patrick, his girlfriend, sitting next to Wesley Edens courtside at the Bucks game. He talked on Fox Sports Wisconsin earlier tonight. Let's hear what he had to say.
All right, I'm with the one and only Aaron Rodgers, and he's not here just as a Bucks fan, but a special announcement. Aaron Rodgers has joined the Bucks ownership group as a minority owner. And Aaron, how did this all come about, and how was it such a good fit for you to join the Bucks organization?
Well, it's been in the works actually for years. Thankfully, Wes and I just kind of talked it out at some point. And, you know, I'm a humongous sports fan, especially NBA. I mean, basketball is my first love, actually, before football. So the opportunity to join the ownership group here in a state that I love, a region that I'm entrenched in and have been for a number of years, a team that I've followed and cheered for and attended games at for a long time, to be able to be a minority owner now is pretty special.
And when you look at this organization, what excites you the most? I mean, new arena, exciting team in the playoffs in consecutive years. Was all these things really attractive going into the situation?
Look, the most attractive thing to me was the opportunity to join a very prestigious ownership group, one, and two, to have a tie to the region. You know, I've lived here for 13 years. I love this state. I love the region. I'd love to finish my career here and then also have this opportunity to still have a connection that brings me back, not just obviously my time with Green Bay, but to show my love and support for the rest of the region. And our team in Milwaukee is pretty, was an opportunity I couldn't pass up.
So I'm going to ask on behalf of most Bucks fans, will we be seeing a lot of number 12 down here at the new arena next season?
Well, that's the exciting part is the arena is going to be open. We have an absolute superstar in Giannis. I mean, he's a top three player in the league, in my opinion. Chris has been incredible these playoffs. We have the reigning rookie of the year. I think things are definitely looking up for Milwaukee basketball. And, you know, Wes and Mark have been great to get to know. And the ownership group has done a great job of figuring out how to put the pieces in place. And I'm excited about the future here and excited about the arena.
Aaron, we appreciate
your
time.
All right, there you go. With Telly Hughes is Aaron Rodgers earlier tonight on Fox Sports Wisconsin. So your new minority owner, Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. Bucks get the win, 116-92. My thanks to Anthony Mandela, producing the show. Ryan Horvat sticking around and putting some extra time in to help us out with screening calls and so forth. Joe Zanzola helping out as well down at the arena. Thanks to him for participating down at the Bradley Center. And Cody Grant also helping Joe out down at the Bradley Center too. And congratulations to Bart Winkler, who was caught kissing a girl on the Jumbotron at the Bradley Center tonight.
What do you think his wife's going to say?
I'm hoping that was his wife. I've never met her. He claims he has one, but I've never met her. So hopefully that was his wife. 116-92 Bucks over the Celtics. Enjoy the rest of your morning because it is 12:30 a.m. after all. Talk to you on Sunday afternoon after Bucks Celtics game 4. Toodles!
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.